It's time to step into the Coming Out Lounge, a cool, safe space to be true to your sexual self, with your host, Rick Clemens. Rick has helped hundreds of people come out of the closet, and now each week he's bringing you cool insights for loving and accepting yourself, boosting your self-confidence, and living a guilt-free, purpose-filled life on the other side of the closet doors. Cuddle up with yourself and get ready for heartwarming coming out stories, ideas for living authentically, and tips for being fully self-expressed. Now here's your host, Coming Out Coach Rick.
Hey, Closet Busters, it's time once again to step out, step up, and step into living your powerful truth. And today I want to do something, well, kind of different, but not really super different than we've done in the past. But I think it's going to be different because I'm actually bringing a marriage and family therapist onto the show with me today. And he's a young guy who's just getting his practice started. He's specializing in working in the LGBTQ community. And when I found him, I thought this could be a really great conversation because one of the things that he really specializes in is working with families that struggle with the religious aspects of LGBTQ individuals coming out and where they just can't accept their family members. And I know for me as a coming out coach, this is an arena that I deal with 95% of the time when I'm working with someone coming out of the closet. And I thought that Tyler Rich would be a perfect person to bring on to have this discussion because there's so many things going on in our world right now with religious freedom type acts and, you know, different things towards the LGBT community. I thought, you know what, let's get somebody else just besides myself in here to start talking about this stuff. So with that, I want to bring Tyler Rich from Richer Life Counseling out of Las Vegas to the podcast so we can talk about all things bright, beautiful, wonderful that could help anyone coming out of the closet. Welcome to the podcast, Tyler.
Thank you so much. Thanks for the intro.
Oh, absolutely, man. So let's kind of give everybody kind of a background. You're just finishing up your schooling.
Yeah, finishing up schooling, so I think I should sit with the board the beginning of next year, so I'll be licensed, but I'm seeing clients right now, so I'm in that last part of schooling, so all my education's behind me, but it's just that seeing clients and getting those out, so I'm good for the state. My background, I got my undergraduate in counseling. I took about 10 years off, just decided to, you know, live in the real world, see what it's like, and then I went back to school and really just found a passion for working with the community and working like with sexual addictions and couples and infidelity. So it's amazing once you find something you're really passionate about how much you look forward to coming to work and just working with people.
So where did the passion come from? Why working in the LGBTQ? And I know you don't just work with LGBTQ, but that kind of is a
special.
Yeah. So why the passion there?
So I grew up Southern Baptist and my parents have been very accepting as Southern Baptist parents, I think, can be. So it was never like I was excommunicated or not talked to, but it just has been a little bit of a struggle just personally on my own journey. I didn't come out till I was about middle of college, and I had a very unique coming out experience. I didn't come out and say, hey, guess what? This is what's going on. It just came out very slowly. I had a boyfriend. We lived together, and it was just something that developed naturally, and it was never a big conversation. So it's taken probably 10 to 15 years for them to talk about, oh, how's your current husband? Like, what's going on with him? So because of that, I've even had conversations where my mom would be like, we're just praying for you. We're just praying for you. We just really want you to be back into church, and we just don't necessarily agree with your lifestyle. Right. So because I've grown up with that, and my parents are pretty accepting, I can still see the disconnect and the hurt. And when I've been in graduate school, I focused a lot of my papers and studies on the LGBT community. And the biggest thing you can see is homelessness is driven for that lack of acceptance in the youth. And so I have this thought that if I can try to bridge the gap, at least in my own community here in Vegas, and reach out to churches and be like, you know, you can have theological differences, you can have difference of opinions. This is not new to the church. So how can we change the way we're talking and we're treating people who believe differently?
That brings up a really good question, Tyler. How can we change the way we're talking and treating people?
I think education's the first. The biggest thing, I think, from my perspective of religious organizations is they don't see sexuality as a natural born thing. They think it's a choice. So if you can break down, there's a difference between same-sex attraction and behavior, because there are plenty of people who identify as straight who act out and have sexual relations with somebody of the same sex.
Right.
And there are plenty of people who definitely identify as homosexual, but because of their religious upbringing, find themselves in a heterosexual marriage and relationship and just are kind of unhappy. So there's a lot of things across the board. So
I'm always amazed, and I'm not even sure that's the right word right now. I guess I can get frustrated and angry and all that sort of stuff, but I'm kind of amazed when people don't understand that this is just who we are. It's part of our makeup as much as it is our cravings for chocolate ice cream or interest in liking somebody who's dark haired versus blonde haired. It's all of this stuff that just makes us who we are. And I know it's very hard for people from very strong faith backgrounds to want to go up against, so to speak, the biblical teachings.
Yeah.
But I also feel that there's so many other things in the biblical arena that they have moved beyond in a modern world. Yet this is the one thing that always seems to be, we can't move beyond this. This is just the gospel truth, no matter what. And it gets very frustrating. And I'm sure that's what you find too.
It's incredibly frustrating when you look at things like slavery or the role of women or just clothing.
Yep.
Just New Testament, not even like to dive into the Old Testament. But there's a lot of pain and hurt. And I think the hard part when I work with families is recognizing that you can still have your religious beliefs, but, you know, the first commandment is, you know, to love everybody.
Right.
And are we really showing that love? Let's not hurt the family. We can have difference of opinions. Mm-hmm. Many families have been broken up because they believe, and this is probably more religious, but like the road to salvation, is it works? Is it faith? And like families have split up over stuff like that. And it's like, well, why don't we just learn to say, okay, this is my belief and I can still be a Christian and still believe these things, but also be gay. And that's hard.
I just feel like they, and I say they, I mean, I have this in my own personal relationships too with my family, but it's like there's no moving past. It's either this or this. And yet on so many other fronts, they've moved past and there is no longer this or this. It's like, okay, well, this is okay to do. And, you know, I've been on my soapbox numerous times on this podcast about this of, you know, you don't get to pick and choose. And maybe that's me being a little bit too literal, but I'm sorry, you don't get to choose what you want to be Christian about. And I think that to me is the driver that frustrates me the most. And I know I'm not perfect and I don't even profess at this point to be any particular denomination. I mean, I have my belief systems and I have my faith in something beyond myself. And I know that I didn't just pop in here to the world. And that's just my perspective. But do I go roll this out onto everybody else? No, I think everybody has a right to be who they want to be. But you brought up something that I think is also very important is that there's a lot of hurt that happens in this. And one of my favorite phrases, and I can't even tell you who said it, but I know Oprah said it not long ago on Super Soul Sunday, hurt people hurt people. And I'm always curious to why it seems that those who hold to these faith-based perspectives, and I'm not disrespecting God in any way, but why the hurt has to come along and what is the fear? So I'm curious, what do you think the fear is for most of these people?
Well, it's interesting. I just went through a sex addiction training and I sat in on sex addiction with gay men. And one thing that they said that really resonated with me is homophobia is shame. It's that shame of myself. And if you've read any of Brené Brown, who does a lot of shame research, you can see that people who are very homophobic, who've knocked them out, probably have some internalized shame of their own sexual attraction.
Sure.
So, I mean, I think a lot of this hurt and a lot of these feelings come from shame of maybe the parents of maybe God's punishing me or I'm not a good person. It's from this very hard place to overcome. And that's where I try to, the biggest way to take care of shame is to come and talk with people about it and have those trusted people and be vulnerable with the shame of like, I'm a bad parent because my son's gay. It's like, no, you're not. You're an amazing look how, and just talk with them about that. That's where it's really powerful when I do like family therapy and you just get people to say these things and this vulnerability in the air and you can just feel the weight being released.
I believe you've really hit on something here and I've been going through some particular challenges in my life around this right now. And the fear to me is this piece of shame, but it's also this fear of, if I don't try to do this and do my best to save my child or get them to turn, then I'm going to go to hell too.
Mm-hmm.
And I get very frustrated by that. And that's just my opinion. That's just one perspective of this. But I get very frustrated when I think about people that do stand in that space, some of my own personal family, because I want to say to them, and I have said to them, so if that's the kind of God that you believe in, how sad is that?
Yeah.
You know, I believe God is a very loving, caring God who accepts us all as we come. And I have a hard time embracing this piece of, if I don't do this to save my child. And I know this is where many fundamental Christian teachings come from, that if you don't do everything you can, then you are subject to, you know, your own demise as well. So how do you work with people in this realm when you start to see this?
One, they usually don't stay in therapy with me too long. But so as a therapist, I identify as a Christian, but I don't identify as a Christian therapist, because any Christian who comes to see me has very different beliefs. Mm-hmm. And I'm not going to push my own beliefs onto them, because they can differ from like the Lord's Supper to communion, like any of those things. They're very different.
Sure.
So when people come in, I just ask, like, what is your belief about your own salvation? Mm-hmm. If you're thinking you can save somebody, what is this really about? What's really going on? Help me understand, because it doesn't seem like it's about them. It's more about you. Why are we turning this into something about you? What's going on? What is your fear? And then really it comes down to, I think a lot of the time family members have this fear because of the stigma and because of a lot of the hate crimes and just the way our society has been of, you're going to get AIDS, you're going to die, you're going to not have the happiest life that you want, and we want you to have a happy, healthy life. Sure. There's also this grieving period that almost parents have to go through of this loss of what I expected, which we all go through with many different things in our life. But parents think, okay, they're, you know, you have this little boy and you're like, oh, he's going to be a father, I'm going to have grandkids, I'm going to do this. But when they come out as gay, a lot of that gets questioned, and it's learning to let go of some of those expectations. And that's really hard. And I think a lot of parent struggle has nothing to do with their child coming out. It has to do with what's internally going on with them. So them seeking out counseling and working through a lot of this internalized shame and these conflicting feelings.
Mm-hmm.
As long as you just expose them and you start talking about them and you are having a very like loving relationship, you can work through this stuff.
I like that you use the terminology expose. And I want to make sure listeners realize that this isn't like, oh, let's expose this for the bad that it is. I think this is about bringing things out into the light where we can have really powerful conversations. And sometimes I think we as humans, regardless of where we're coming from, whether it's around homosexuality or whether it's around relationship issues or doing what we want to do in life in our careers, we tend to forget to have the real conversations, because when we bring stuff out into the light, and again, kind of going back to, you know, Brené Brown's work about vulnerability, when we bring stuff out into the light, we become completely vulnerable. We become completely naked. And I remember some time back having a conversation, and I'm literally meaning some time back, probably 5-10 years ago, having a conversation, heated conversation with my own family. And it came tumbling out of my mother's mouth that, you have no idea where you've placed your destiny. And I remember turning to her and saying, and you do? You do? And in that moment, I realized I was being very confrontational. But I also saw in her that she had to actually stop and think about what she just said.
Mm-hmm.
It's like suddenly she became the judger. You know, she became as, you know, big as God, so to speak. And it was one of the first healing moments we had. Now, recently, we've kind of gone into a similar space where that same terminology got used on me. And I just said, I'm done. I can't do this anymore.
It's tiring.
It's very tiring. And I'm glad you said that, Tyler, because I've been wanting to talk about this. And it's probably a good thing to talk about, because it becomes very self-abusing when you allow the, quote, abusers to continue to exhaust you.
Yeah. One thing my supervisor says all the time, and I try to say to my clients, and I'm sure it comes from someone, but says, when I sacrifice my rights, I give others permission to mistreat me. And when you sacrifice those rights of letting people just talk to you in an unloving way, you're going to be mistreated.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And it does hurt because this is, you know, you talked about the death, you know, and the grieving and everything. It's very tough because we do lose relationships. I mean, for all intents and purposes right now, I'm in a space where I don't have a relationship with my parents. Mm-hmm. And it hurts, but I believe it's healthy to also realize the hurt is there, but what you're getting in return is actually better for you at times. When you get out of those kind of constant being torn down, being told you're not going to, you know, go to heaven, when you are told you're not good enough and you just need to choose differently, it becomes so just catabolic on your own mindset that then it, I believe it starts to make you project other things onto other people. And yeah. This last go around when I finally put my foot down, I think I use the terminology of, I no longer can do this because this kind of relationships makes me want to do and be away with you that I don't want to be. Yeah. And so I'd rather not have the relationship, so I don't do those things. And it's still hard. I mean, it's still very tough to kind of hold the ground right now. And I don't know how long this will go on. I don't know how long I'll stay this way or feel this way. But for right now, I have to give myself that space. So I'm just curious, as a counselor, because, you know, coaches and counselors do very similar work. You go into the deeper stuff, into the mental capacity stuff than we do, yeah. because that's not what we're trained in. But when you find someone who really needs to have that separation, so to speak, what's a technique or some advice you would be guiding them towards to help them become comfortable with, maybe I do need to walk away for a while with my family?
So counseling term, I usually do air quotes in session mm-hmm. with stuff like this. So it's just boundaries, and it's learning that I need to have firmer boundaries with certain people in my life when they mistreat me. Mm-hmm. And there's lots of good books out there, and I can throw like a resource page with a bunch of different books and give out for all the listeners. But I think the first part would be just setting boundaries of, like, in your situation with your family, if they're going to, you know, we're going to talk about this before we cut off all ties. It's okay. I love you and I want a relationship with you, but this is hurting our relationship. And if this is where conversations are going, I'm going to disconnect from the conversation and I'm going to just either hang up the phone or I'm going to get up and leave the room. Like, this is just not a topic I want to talk about with you.
Right.
And if you can't respect me enough, then I'm going to have a firmer boundary. Boundaries are rules we give ourselves. Mm-hmm. They're not rules we give others. It's, what do I need to do? If somebody's consistently, you know, abusing you or using slurs or doing these things, it's okay. I can't be around you because this isn't healthy for me. And there's something really empowering when you put rules on yourself, like, I'm not going to be treated this way, and if I do, this is the consequence. And being upfront with people about that is very liberating. Mm-hmm. And then all it takes is one time for them to say something, be like, nope, this is what I talked about. I don't want to go here. Do you want to change the subject or do you want me to leave?
And that's a tough place to go.
Oh, it's incredibly tough.
Because there's another piece to this that we haven't touched on yet. First of all, it's really tough to do this with someone. Second, it puts you in a space where, okay, I may be feeling like I'm pulling the rug out from under myself, because if this person or these people aren't in my life, even though it's very quote unquote abusive, mm-hmm. if they're not here, then who do I have? So this is something that, you know, you got to come to terms within your own self. And I don't hate my parents. In fact, I love them. I respect that they're doing the best they can. I get that piece. Yeah. But I cannot continue to subject myself to this, and I call it abuse. I can't subject myself to it. And somebody said to me the other day, well, why can't you just let it go? I said, I did. I drew the boundary and I let it go, plain and simple.
And I think this is where, if you know, you can work with a therapist, yes. and they really can help you develop the skills to, okay, what's your social support network? What's yes. the worst case scenario? Let's talk this stuff through before you do it. Let's see where you feel. Mm-hmm. Let's try a small boundary first. Right. How did that work? Right. Then we roll out new ones. So when you work with somebody and you're struggling with this stuff, it's a chance to figure things out from a neutral third party. And like the clients that I've been seeing for a while just have made such progress in their own ability to set boundaries with their families and work through a lot of these issues and have that support network. So it's a process, and it's not like, I don't want anybody to hear this and be like, I'm going to set a boundary and then it blows
right,
up.
Exactly. No, and it's, I want to make sure that's clear. Yeah. This is not just being me just suddenly one day I said, okay, this is what's happening. This has been 15 years of, okay, we have gone through this. We've been on this merry-go-round many times, and this time I am putting a really strong boundary in place. A boundary that may get moved from time to time, but I think it's this piece that you have to put it in place in a way that you can deal with it personally. And it's taken a lot of time. And again, you know, yes, I realize I'm a coach and I do this kind of work with people all the time. But when I'm doing it with myself, I have to sit back and go, okay, what have been the other things I have done? What are the things that I've allowed myself to draw the boundaries around? And here's a piece that I often walk clients into, and I'm wondering if this is similar with you, because I kind of think what I just heard is very similar. I think we forget that it may be this current situation that we're trying to learn to put a boundary around. So in this case, you know, my parents. But I have to look at my overall life and go, okay, where are other places that I'm not putting boundaries around too? Because this may be the pattern of the person. This may be their pattern that they don't know how to do boundaries. And 9 times out of 10, when I'm working with a client, I will hear them say, oh, I'm having a really big issue with my parents. And then my next question will be, and who else in your life might you be having a similar issue with? That maybe we need to go draw the boundary with someone else first to kind of, you know, learn to do the work, to work that muscle before we go to this bigger picture of somebody really close, like parents or siblings or whoever it may be. Yeah. So I'm assuming you see the similar sort of stuff.
Marriage and family therapists come from therapy word systemic approach, which pretty much just means like the way our family is and all our family interactions from like grandparents all the way down have influenced the way we are. Mm-hmm. A lot of my clients come in because they're anxious. And then after a few sessions, it's very clear that they're having relational problems with their family. And a lot of the anxieties come from the way they grew up and this relational stuff. So it's a lot of times we view like symptoms of anxiety or depression. Really, it's just the way we've learned to cope with a lot of the stuff in our life. Coming into counseling and realizing that these are just patterns. And once we recognize the patterns, we can start to implement small changes, and that makes big changes.
Right.
So it's just those small things, but everything's connected. If you see the certain problem with your parents because you've come out or these patterns that just keep happening in your life, most likely there's something bigger there that you can like discover. And once you start making small changes, it will affect every aspect of your life, not just what you came to seek help from.
Well, absolutely. And one of the things that I've seen most often is, and again, I'll go back to like real life, you know, coaching sessions, is they'll say, you know, I'm really having this trouble with, you know, a family member or parents. And then I'll say, and what's your relationship like with your boss? Or what's your relationship like with your boyfriend or girlfriend? Or what's your relationship like with your best friend? And oftentimes when I ask that question, I'll get like the deer in the headlights sort of look like, well, what do you mean? I'm not here to talk about them. And that's when I tiptoe them into, this is probably something that keeps showing up for you in your life. And let's kind of examine the bigger picture, as you said, the systemic thing, rather than let's just focus on this one arena.
Yeah.
It's a holistic approach. It's happening no matter where they are in their life. Mm-hmm. So I'm curious, when you have, you know, worked with clients and as you are right now, where there are these issues of, okay, the family members, so to speak, are just never, quote unquote, never going to move. They're never going to come to an understanding. Where do you help the client get to in their own mind? Yes, we've talked about boundaries. I get that. But where do you help the client get to in their own mind of accepting that?
That's a big question. You have to meet everybody where they're at and what they want. Sometimes it's just figuring out that maybe what we want is not reality and is never going to happen. And just grieving that loss of that relationship of what you want it to be. You know, there's a lot of like very stereotypical like therapy type things where you like talk to an empty chair or you write a letter and then you read it out loud. And I usually give homework like that to my clients and they look at me like, really? Like out the side of their eye. And then they, you know, I'm like, just have faith in me. Just try it. And then we do it and read it in session. And it's amazing the emotional weight that gets left. Like there's usually a lot of tears, a lot of like emotional stuff. Sometimes just talking to your parent in the room, like they're sitting in a chair and just talking to them. And then even pretending to be them and hearing what you want to hear from them. It's amazing. It's very, very powerful stuff. So every client I think is different, but if anybody who's listening to this is seeking counseling wants this, just talk to your therapist or your life coach or whoever you're seeking help from on what you want out of your family relationship. Is it something that's actually going to happen? And if it's not, how can we come to terms with that? And it's a process, and there's a grieving period, and it's learning to deal with your own like vulnerability and your own shame and working through that. So it's very complicated, but it can happen with just finding the right therapist. And it's all about finding somebody who you really connect with and can trust.
Absolutely. Well, I think what you just really said in a nutshell is it's about getting really realistic with yourself. You know, we can create a lot of expectations. And, you know, one of the biggest expectations I think many people who come out of the closet have is, okay, this is, even though they know the quote horror stories that are showing up about people not accepting all this, the big thing we all hope for is everybody will just embrace us. Well, that will happen in some circles with some people, but to think that 100% of the people that are in our lives will fully embrace us is pretty much a pipe dream most of the time. Yeah. And even those who do, and I think this is a, I hate it when I say I think, because it's like, okay, did I just come up with this? No, I didn't just come up with this. I've seen this firsthand. What happens is even those who do accept us will sometimes surprise us in the most innocuous and innocent ways by saying something down the road that we're just like, wait, hold on. I thought you embraced me. And yet what we don't realize is sometimes the societal blueprint that's been put down on all of us, doesn't matter if we're gay, straight, or whatever, there's societal blueprints that have been laid down that out of the blue, something will get said, and then somebody will look at us like, wow, I didn't know that's how you felt about this, you know? Mm-hmm. And it can be something as simple as, you know, well, you know, your lifestyle choice. Out of the blue, somebody says that because that's kind of that catchphrase that a lot of people use when they talk about LGBTQ individuals. And so I just find it interesting when we encounter someone in our circle who's been very supportive and that zinger comes flying through and that becomes something yet another thing we learn to navigate and go around and have really open, vulnerable conversations. And one of the ways I've done this with clients is I said, you know, first of all, don't be confrontational. There's a way to be confrontational without being confrontational. So in a moment like that, I would say, so I'm very curious about what you just said, and you repeat it back to them. You said this, and I'm curious what that means to you and what your intention was by that mm-hmm. statement. Now, a lot of people are like, really, you would say something? Isn't that like confrontational? I said, it is, but is it as confrontational as, well, why the f*** did you just say that? Yeah. You know, it's a completely different confrontation. It's, this is what I heard you say, and I'm curious what you really meant by that. It's a completely different way of approaching. And of course, as soon as I do this with someone, I'm like, and this is kind of the blueprint I'm trying to, you know, help you adapt to so that not only in this coming out sort of stuff, but as you start into relationships, you know, one-on-one, individual, same-sex relationships, dating, intimate relationships, relationships with your children, and so on and so forth.
Absolutely. I mean, and that's what I work with all my couples I see, you know, straight and gay. Mm-hmm. It's how do we have loving confrontation? You know, mm-hmm. there's 70% of conflict in relationships isn't solvable, but we have to talk about it. So let's learn to talk about conflict in a loving way. When you start to understand your own emotional reaction to things and slow mm-hmm. things down and just realize, wow, that really hurt. Like you said that, and that just rubbed me the wrong way. What's going on? And just showing some of your vulnerability to people who you care about, because most people, an optimist, most people aren't going to intentionally say something to hurt you or to offend you. So if we're vulnerable, like, wow, that really just kind of rubbed me the wrong way. What's going on? It's amazing that openness can strengthen relationships.
But that's why I always go back to the phrase I've already said in this podcast is hurt people hurt people. And when you can start to wrap your head around that phrase and really get it, and I know it because I am a hurt person too. We're all hurt. And at times we will pull that hurt person forward. And that hurt person will intentionally hurt someone and sometimes unintentionally hurt someone. But when we can really wrap our heads around that and go, okay, am I being that hurt person right now who's out there hurting someone just because, oh, I'm hurt myself, mm-hmm. then we tend to be able to slow down and embrace.
Yeah.
So I'm going to go someplace because I think it's healthy in these conversations to have this kind of, you know, definitive, let's kind of show people who are listening, which is kind of hard to show people who are listening, but help them understand things. I'm curious from your perspective, because we're both professionals, we both do very similar work. How do you see what a life coach does versus a marriage and family therapist?
Okay.
Because it's very similar. I know there's a difference for me, but I'm curious from your perspective.
The way I look at life coaches is it's definitely like, I have this problem, help me solve this problem. Mm-hmm. And it comes from a very like solution type focus, like do these tasks, do these things. For me, some therapists are kind of like that. They work from a like a solution focused model. Right. I come from a very, I used to believe like, oh, it's all about your thoughts. But now in my training that I've had, it's very emotionally driven. Mm-hmm. And a lot of the research shows like there's just something about this emotional release. So looking at family patterns, how has this really affected you emotionally? How, let's have this release. What does it take to be like a gay man? Mm-hmm. Like what expectations do you have? What feelings are behind that? What did your father teach you? What did your mother teach you? What is masculinity? Really diving into more emotional stuff.
Yes.
Clients ask me all the time, well, what's your advice? I go, my advice doesn't matter. I'm a person. I can help you focus on some loose solutions. And I can often, like, I give homework, like, okay, let's do this or this.
Right.
But I think the real growth comes from my clients who were really open to be vulnerable.
Right.
Yeah. And like even I had a session, I think last night, where we drew the family history and just started talking about patterns, and we put it up on my whiteboard, and my client just started crying because they just noticed something. And that type of emotional release, I don't necessarily think happens with life coaches a lot. I'm sure it does, but it happens very frequently in counseling, is just having this deeper meaning to yourself. So that's how I view the differences.
Yeah, I think you summed it up very well. I know for me as a coach, I always say, you know, if I sense any sense of mental incapacity or that there's something deeper seated, then, you know, you want to go from here to here. You come to me at point A and you want to get to point C, then as a coach, I'm constantly going to be like holding you accountable, moving you forward. You know, we're on the path of going from A to C. Not to say that that's not what therapists do too, but they do it from a more emotional, let's clear the baggage, let's break down some,
let's work through stuff.
Really work through stuff. Now, do I do that as a coach? Absolutely, because I will look at an assumption, I will look at a interpretation that gets made, you know, I will talk about the gremlin voices just like anybody does. But there's something about, and this is a perfect example of it, when I have a new person show up, the first thing I say is, so, you know, especially if they're struggling with, you know, coming out, I will say, so tell me why you think you are gay. And if one of the things that they say is, well, I just feel like there's something really wrong with me and I need to figure this out, that's kind of my first flag of maybe some therapy and some true counseling would be better. Because if they feel like there's something wrong with them, I can't fix that. Now, if they come to me and say, well, I know because I have these attractions and, you know, I can look at a guy and this is what, you know, it makes me feel not only sexually charged, but it makes me feel embraced and this is kind of what I want. And what I need help with is standing in myself, standing in my power to be able to say that. Then I can go, okay, great. We're at point A and you want to get to point C. God, now let's go, you know, and where there's a fine line in the differences. And sometimes, you know, people go, well, why wouldn't I do this work with a therapist? And my answer is you can and you should. If that's where you feel more comfortable, then I'm all behind that. And that's why I have relationships with a lot of therapists, because there's times that first of all, we're all different people. People are going to respond to different people in different ways.
Absolutely.
Some people are going to much rather want to work with a coach because they feel like, well, this is just catapulting me forward. I don't feel like anything's really wrong. I just want some goals. I want to be able to hit some stuff. And, you know, we're going to go do things from week to week. There's always going to be homework. There's always going to be explorations. And that's the first thing I tell all my clients. You're going to leave every session with things you're going to do between now and then. And you're going to be held accountable when you come through there. And for some people, that's going, no, I really don't want to be doing that. I want to be able to just go talk through stuff. Well, if that's what you want to do, then that's when I typically would say, I kind of think therapy might be a good route for you until you're ready to like step into this. So I'm so glad you came and said that the way you did, because I think this will help people. And there's a big world. There's lots of people who need the support, that need the guidance. So find, and you said it earlier, Tyler, about finding that person you really resonate with. That to me is the most important piece.
And I always tell all my clients in the first session, like, you know, if this doesn't feel like it's working, it has nothing to do with you. It has to do with how connected you are. All the research shows the number one outcome is connecting with your therapist. Mm-hmm. So find one that works with you. And that's, you know, it's the key. I think also realizing that therapy is what you want it. You're in charge.
Yes.
So I have clients that see me once a month and life's good, but they just kind of like checking in and just doing that. That's okay. So you're in charge of it. It's not this thing of, oh, I'm going to go see a therapist. I'm going to sit on a couch and lay down and they're going to sit behind me and take notes.
Right.
not therapy at all. Was therapy 100 years ago? Some people do it like that. Generally not like that. So it's just finding somebody you really connect with, and you'll know in the first 20 minutes of talking to somebody in a session if you feel connected with them.
Absolutely. So it's amazing how quickly time goes by on the podcast here. But before we wrap it up, I'd love to ask you the question I ask everybody. And that question is, if you could leave a tidbit for someone who's struggling in coming out, being who they are, embracing their gay life, maybe struggling with their family around these issues, what would be a tidbit you'd love to leave with the listeners?
I think the biggest thing is love yourself. Mm-hmm. And like, you're worthwhile.
Yeah.
You're worth every second of your life, and it's okay to be struggling. No, journal some of these feelings down, but just remember to love yourself, because people love you out there, and mm-hmm. there's people you've not even met who are going to love you.
Yeah.
So just continue on your own journey and just realize to love yourself.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I use the phrase very often, self-love is the best self-care.
Yeah,
and
absolutely.
As trite and as cliche as it may sound, sometimes the only person you got is yourself. And the sooner you can embrace that, the sooner you'll be able to move through many of these challenges that you will probably face as you come through those closet doors. So that's awesome. We will have all of Tyler's information up on the website. So if you happen to be in the Nevada, Las Vegas area, we'll have a link to his Richer Life Counseling website where you can learn more about him. And thanks again so much for being on the program today and sharing yourself with the listeners.
Well, thank you so much for having me.
Absolutely. And if you've gotten anything out of this conversation, which we hope you have, that Tyler and I have just had, and you now see some differences in, oh, maybe I do want to work with a therapist versus a coach, or you found some really good wisdom in the words that we shared about how you approach boundaries and being in relationship with people who are in your life, then just reach out. Let us know what you think. We'd love to hear from you. And we'd also love to just support you in any possible way that we can. All of Tyler's information will be up on the show page, and my information, as always, is always on the show page about how you can work with me. And I want to kind of go back to what Tyler said at the very end here. You know, self-love is probably the most powerful, potent medication you can take during your coming out journey. And the moment you let someone take that away from you is when you're going to have your biggest struggles. So if you can just remember, your self-love is what it's all about. And I think we're going to leave it here for this week. Thanks for listening. I'm Rick Clemens, the Coming Out Coach. You've been listening to the Coming Out Lounge, and we will be back with you in just a few days. Take care, everyone. And don't forget to step out, step up, and step into living your powerful truth each and every moment of your life. Hey, 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 closet dwellers and Coming Out Lounge listeners. I wanted to invite you to check something out. You know, for all the years that I've been a coming out coach, one thing I've learned is sometimes people come to do the work with me and they only need a little bit of help to get over something very particular and very important to them. It could be reconciling their religion and sexuality. Maybe it's learning how to have the difficult conversations where they say, I'm gay. Possibly it could be, oh my God, I'm out of the closet, but now how do I do this same-sex dating and mating sort of thing? Well, what I can tell you is throughout the years, there are common things that show up over and over and over again. And what I've heard most from my clients and listeners of the podcast is, I want a way to work with you just on these particular subjects. Yay, I am so excited because I've taken the action and I've made this possible. So how do you find out about these particular programs? You go to thecomingoutcoach.com, or if you're on the show page right now listening to the podcast or have just listened to the podcast, over to the right-hand side of the podcast description, everything is an icon that says one-on-one coaching sessions. Click on that button. You'll be taken to a page that describes each of the different 9 sessions I'm offering. They are one-on-one sessions that we can do via phone, Skype, or even FaceTime. They're very action-oriented. We go right to the topic that you want to talk about. And each of these sessions also includes a copy of my book, Frankly, My Dear, I'm Gay. So what more could you ask for? You get me for 90 minutes devoted to you, plus my book. So go check it out. See if there's something that could help you as you step out, step up, and step in to living your powerful truth. Take care. I'm Rick Clemens, the Coming Out Coach. I look forward to working with you.
You've just experienced the Coming Out Lounge. Go online to www.comingoutlounge.com to learn more. And tune in again next week for more stories and tips for being true to yourself.